The Bob Siegel Show is brought to you in part by Web Studio, Primetime Advertising Corporation, and the Law Office of Thomas Pinkerton. The views and opinions are solely those of the host and guests and do not necessarily represent KCBQ or its sponsors. It's time now for the Bob Siegel Show, a religious open forum where all questions are welcome. And now, here's your host, Christian apologist, Bob Siegel.
And this is Bob Siegel. So, you'd like to believe in God, but how can one call himself a Christian and not want our president to succeed? Well, the question of Obama's success or failure came up again last week. Congresswoman Diane Watson did something difficult and unpredictable at a town hall meeting. She insulted Rush Limbaugh. Wow. The utter courage one must summon to make a comment like that. Not to mention that independent thought. Miss Watson was actually looking back on a statement Limbaugh made quite some time ago about not wanting Obama to succeed. Her point was that if our president fails, our country fails. I guess that means she also wanted the policies of George Bush to succeed. Because after all, if Bush failed, then that would mean America also, never mind. Allow me to ask a painful question. Something so obvious, yet so unsettling, most people are afraid to ask it. Supposing Obama himself wants America to fail. Now, I'm just asking, and it's a fair question. Don't misunderstand me. I'm sure in Obama's mind, he wants America to succeed. He tells himself he wants America to succeed. But which America? That is the important sub-question here. After all, Obama enthusiastically admitted that he wanted to transform America during his campaign. Since then, his domestic policies seem to be helping our economy the way a jihadist helps a headache. Why don't we just cut your head off? Yeah, we'll just cut it clean off. Then you won't have the headache anymore. Now, make no mistake, whether or not I want Obama to succeed or fail depends upon the policies themselves. If he's trying to morph us into a socialist society that rises out of the ashes of capitalism, then I hope he fails. And when he travels the world apologizing for America, that makes me wonder how much he loves America as opposed to loving what he and his leftist buddies want America to become. Again, I'm just throwing this out for discussion, but if you think these questions are off base, look at the remainder of Diane Watson's speech where she praised a Marxist, cutthroat, murdering thief, Fidel Castro.
You can think whatever you want to about Fidel Castro, but he was one of the brightest leaders I have ever met.
She also encouraged Americans to visit Cuba and see for themselves the wonderful health care Castro brought about. For some reason, she did not encourage Americans to visit Miami, Florida, and talk to the millions of Cubans who fled Castro. But honeycomb compliments also come from the other direction. Only last week, Castro himself praised President Obama. He said, and I quote, "President Obama is trying to make positive changes in the United States, but is being fought at every turn by right-wingers who hate him because he is black." Now, folks, if that statement sounds familiar, it's only because so many of our Democratic politicians have uttered virtually identical comments, almost word for word. In fact, Watson said it herself in that same town hall speech.
And they're trying to see that the first president who looks like me fails. Now, just understand what's at the bottom line.
Now, when she says looks like me, that, of course, refers to the fact that she is African-American. Boy, did Watson hit a home run with this town hall gathering or what? Have you seriously contemplated this? An elected representative telling us we cannot possibly disagree with the direction of her party unless we are racists. Does she really, honestly feel this way? Is she that stupid? Or is she instead hoping you are that stupid? In either case, such a thoughtless, irresponsible, infantile comment only proves that the woman and so many others in her party are walking disasters who have forfeited their right to be in Washington on our behalf. Come quickly, 2010. Conservatives get chewed out for even suggesting that a Marxist government is alive and well within the Obama administration and the Democratic Congress. And yet, we have a congresswoman praising Castro while Castro himself praises Obama. And despite this utter horror, we are not even allowed to ask if our country is going in a Marxist direction. Even the question itself is unfair. Give me a break. To speak the obvious once again, if Obama is taking us where I think he is taking us, an America that would depress Thomas Jefferson but put a smile on the face of Fidel Castro, an America where dissent with Republicans is called patriotic while dissent with Democrats is called racist, no, then I do not want him to succeed. Well, at least the voices of angry and concerned parents have slowed Obama down a little. His administration had to backpedal and abandon at least one of the follow-up projects associated with the president's planned speech to our public school children next week. Most people have no problem with a president giving some generic, inspirational lecture void of politics. Hey, kids, study hard. Stay in school. You know, that kind of drivel would have been fine. It would have been drivel, but it would have been fine because of all the bad press now. That's probably all it will be. But one can only wonder what the little nippers might have heard without this parental hurricane. We do know that essays were going to be recommended where students could write about how to best serve the president. In fact, this same week, Courtney Cox and other Hollywood celebrities have put forth an ad encouraging kids to make a special pledge of allegiance. Now, hold on to your seats. You are not dreaming. Hollywood did not suddenly revert back toward any kind of patriotic love for our country. No, this was not a pledge to our flag, but rather a pledge to our president. And again, the word servant was used. I pledge myself to be a servant to my president. Excuse me? Excuse me, but the United States was not set up so that we could serve our president. It is the president's job to serve us. He was elected to serve us. Our government works by putting in officials who serve us. Perhaps this subtle reminder is needed in an age where our latest chief executive gets treated like the Messiah. Encouraging education always sounds so good. It sounds good, but I must tell you, I am this close to not wanting kids to stay in school and study hard. I guess for me, it depends on what exactly they are studying and what they are being taught or indoctrinated with. And now, a special treat. While all the other radio shows and news agencies have scrambled to get a copy of the president's speech to the little kiddies, we got our hands on something else, something nobody else did. Forget the speech. I want to hear what kind of music will play as the president approaches his podium. And here it is. Yes, music fits Obama, and not just because of his school exploits. The bigger story this week is all the dope that's come out about his latest green czar, Van Jones. Oh, how fun it will be to watch Obama dance around this one. That's right. It's time for another episode of Dancing to the Questions and Answers with Barack Obama.
Question me and answer bright and clear. I will answer with a question clear and bright. Even though your answer may be wrong, my question will be right. Question me and answer. Answer with a question.
1492.
What's the year that Babe Ruth hit his 60th home run? Became the hero at the Battle of Bull Run. Learning can be lots of fun. question me and answer bright and clear.
Either he's going to have to convince us that he knew absolutely nothing about the background of his latest green czar, Van Jones, or he's going to have to explain how he could have selected a man with such a lethal pedigree. Who knows? The denial might just work. After all, it worked with Reverend Wright. Supposedly, in the 20 years Obama attended his church, he never heard one racist or anti-Semitic or anti-American statement. Obama said that with a straight face, and people still voted for him. Obama also assured us that he barely knew self-confessed, unashamed terrorist Bill Ayers. People let that slide, too, even though the kickoff event to Obama's political career was launched in Ayers' living room. See how it comes together? See, Obama probably figures that anyone stupid enough to vote for him is just as brain challenged in the present time. And so, yes, it could actually work again. But we didn't know. We didn't know that the man was a proud professing communist who promises to use the environment as a tool to redistribute wealth, who says it's impossible to discuss climate change without discussing racism, who accuses white people of deliberately poisoning blacks, and who signed a petition to investigate President Bush for causing 9/11. We didn't know. Yeah, they didn't know. The president had resources like the FBI at his disposal to do a background check, and he couldn't even come up with something that a simple Google search would provide. Or maybe he never heard of YouTube, where an abundance of speeches from this fine gentleman have recently resurfaced. Yeah, sure, he didn't know. I believe him, but hey, I believe in the tooth fairy too, so don't go by me. Or Obama could pull that other rabbit out of his hat. Van Jones has changed. It was in the distant past that he called himself a communist. He's reformed. Actually, this response has been floated already, but without much success, so they'll either try it again or bag the tactic completely. For the record, Jones' communist speech was a while ago. It was a while ago, all the way back in March of 2009. You don't think that's so long ago? Well, do you remember what you had for breakfast every single day of March? No? Well, okay then. Let's stop quibbling about ancient history. Another possible course of action? Oh, yeah, sure, Jones said all those things, but you are taking him out of context. When he said we might have been responsible for 9/11, he didn't mean to suggest that we might have been responsible. He only meant to say that we might have been responsible. See? You have to understand the context. Of course, there is one other interpretation to all of this. So obvious, so simplistic, and so outrageous, most people never think of it. Maybe, just maybe, a man smart enough to graduate Harvard and smart enough to pull off a successful presidential campaign is also smart enough to properly vet a new advisor. Maybe Obama knows everything about this man, always knew everything about this man, and wants him on his team for exactly those reasons. Truth be told, many of his other czars are every bit as scary, if not scarier. Maybe he was sure he'd get away with this since he had gotten away with everything else. Maybe he figured the worst-case scenario would be that only the right wing would notice what he's up to, would notice what he's trying to do, and he could quickly shut them up by saying that they only object to him because he's black. I am grateful for all that is now out in the open and comforted that Obama is getting such bad press, finally, over this venomous appointment. I believe we will see Van Jones' resignation in only a matter of days, if not sooner, but I'll be honest with you. I'm still concerned, gravely concerned. For quite some time, our mainstream media refused to touch this story. It simply did not fit in with their role as Obama's water boy. People like the courageous Glenn Beck have been carrying the torch almost entirely on their own, even though, as I said, the info is easily and readily available to anyone with even the most elementary internet skills. My admiration for Beck and other talk show hosts is matched only by my utter disdain for today's mainstream news. They are run by a bunch of cowardly Kurds, and that is just about the nicest thing I can say. Even though the mainstream media is now only after kicking and screaming on board, I fear that all those other deadly czars will be lost in the sea of discussion over Jones. For this reason, I now want to point out a few others, and I guarantee you will find them quite chilling. There's the diversity czar, or diversity officer over the FCC, Mark Lloyd. Now, I've talked about him before. This is the man who will bring back the Fairness Doctrine without calling it the Fairness Doctrine. He speaks negatively about free speech and positively about Hugo Chavez's ability to close down all the poison media. 2 weeks ago, I did a very detailed radio show about how Obama plans to reintroduce the Fairness Doctrine without calling it such. On my list of evidence was the appointment of Mark Lloyd as diversity officer. Well, we now have on record a speech from Mr. Lloyd praising the administration of dictator Hugo Chavez and showing solidarity with his decision to shut down all opposing media. I urge you to go to YouTube and find it before they take it off of YouTube, because I think they probably will. Then there's the science czar, John Holdren. Oh, you're going to love this guy. He believes the day might come when we should force women to have abortions, whether they want them or not. I guess all that talk about her body, her choice, was only useful while our country became desensitized to abortion. Having achieved its purpose, the word choice can now be discarded. Holdren also believes in forced sterilization through drinking water for the purpose of population control. Now, what's my source for this? Is it some conspiracy theory? No, my source is his own book, the book he wrote, Eco-Science. Here's an excerpt. I'm reading from page 837. Indeed, it has been concluded that compulsory laws, even including laws requiring compulsory abortion, could be sustained under the existing Constitution if the population crisis became sufficiently severe to endanger the society. Well, care to hear about even more of these wonderful new czars? There's the regulatory czar, Cass Sunstein. The man says that when people have too many choices, it troubles him. Let me say that again. Cass Sunstein. Our regulatory czar is troubled when we have too many choices. Oh, really? Well, his having that view seems to trouble me. By the way, just so you won't think he's a fanatic, Sunstein does accept some choice. He is pro-choice where abortion is concerned. And that may be just about the only choice he believes in until that other czar, John Holdren, eliminates this choice as well and pushes forced abortions. But I won't quibble over something petty like choice, because actually it's the least of Sunstein's delightful characteristics. Good old Cass believes animals should have a right to sue humans. Yes, you heard me correctly. Since animals are, of course, incapable of speaking or filing briefs, some brilliant human will represent them naturally. Can you just imagine? After calling the rat exterminator, a rat takes you to court. Or more correctly put, some idiot representing a rat takes you to court. I guess a human advocate for an animal makes more sense to him than a human advocate for a human or a human fetus. Needless to say, Sunstein also believes hunting should be downright outlawed, but that probably doesn't come as a surprise if he thinks Bambi belongs in a courtroom rather than the forest. And then there's the international czar. You're going to love this one, Harold Koh. Now, I must admit, this time the term czar is informal. Obama has not yet officially named this young fellow as a czar, but he is a legal advisor to the State Department, which means he will influence Obama as much as anyone. Koh does not view our Constitution as an adequate legal document for the governing of America. He wants to see us bow to international law. Yes, the United Nations certainly is a beacon of law and liberty. Only recently, the UN caved into pressure from Palestinians who will no longer teach on the Holocaust in Gaza schools. After all, Palestinians do not believe the Holocaust ever happened, and we wouldn't want to confuse them with the truth. So United Nations teachers in Gaza will no longer mention the Holocaust. No surprises from the same confederation that once had Syria as the head of its Security Council. Yes, sir, this is the day we long for, when the United States is made subservient to the United Nations. But Koh not only embraces international law, oh no, such an ordinary, popular, and fashionable principle wouldn't be enough to distinguish him. Koh also believes that in some cases, Americans ought to allow for Sharia law. Do you understand what Sharia law is? It is based upon the belief that Muslim rule should be the law of the land. Women have no rights under Sharia law. Women have been stoned for being seen in public with certain men under Sharia law. Those who leave Islam and turn to Christianity have been executed under Sharia law. Homosexuals have been murdered legally under Sharia law. Had enough? I sure have, but I'll mention one more. The cyberspace czar. Now, this position has not yet been filled. It was, but she stepped down. Melissa Hathaway held the job but resigned in August. However, and it's a significant however, Democratic Senator Jay Rockefeller is introducing a bill that would give President Obama complete control over the internet in case of an emergency. So watch for a new czar, or Obama himself is the grand czar of them all. Senator Jay Rockefeller is drafting a bill that would give the president special powers. The powers would extend over the private sector networks, code for cyberspace. This means no less than the following. The content of all blogs and the content of all websites would be placed under the control of President Barack Obama. Inasmuch as our current administration seems to see right-wing organizations and global warming as bigger threats than Islamo-Nazi terrorism, one can only wonder, one can only imagine what President Obama might consider an emergency. Since any emergency would give him a chance to be God, I'm guessing that such a red alert condition will be defined fairly loosely. Can you just imagine if George Bush had tried such a thing? Where are our news networks right now when the Patriot Act gave the government access to private emails? Something I protested, by the way. Our media went ballistic, but not now. Oh, America, wake up. Wake up before the only available news is Chris Matthews' update on the chill up his leg brought about by the oratory skills of President Obama, or the latest count on how many flies Obama managed to slay with one stroke of the hand. Now, the word czar originally referred to emperors in Europe. Most of us have come to associate the term with Russian royalty. How ironic. The communist revolution overthrew the tyranny of Russian czars only to replace it with a dictatorship that was as bad, if not worse. This dictatorship denied its true fascism, claiming to be about the rights of the people, but I urge you to talk with anyone who once lived in the Soviet Union and who now lives in America. They might have something to say about the appointment of czars who either brag about being communist, the word that supposedly is in antithesis to czar, or articulate indistinguishable policies even if they don't use the word communist. You see, the very fact that opposite terms can mask the exact same skunk underneath only goes to show that we should be paying less attention to titles anyway and more attention to what these people are actually saying. They have not exactly been shy about their positions. We should not be shy about protecting an old-fashioned ideology of our own, a real, genuine endangered species. It's called democracy. The day may just be coming when we no longer recognize our own country. Our own country, America, a dream gone by, like a love affair from long ago, and it will be only a distant memory.
Midnight, not a sound from the pavement. Has the moon lost her memory? She is smiling alone in the lamplight. The withered leaves collect at my feet, and the wind begins to mourn. Memory, all alone in the moonlight, I can dream of the old days. Life was beautiful then. Let the memory live again. Every street lamp seems to beat a fatalistic warning. Someone mutters and the street lamp sputters, and soon it will be
Looking to build your own website without a lot of cost and trouble? Hi, I'm Bob Siegel, here to tell you about Web Studio. Web Studio allows people to create their own websites simply and easily without knowing HTML. With Web Studio, you avoid the learning curve of front page and the expense of a web designer. Web Studio has 14 different galleries that contain graphics, sounds, and everything else you need. For more information about Web Studio, go to webstudio.com.
Call Bob now at 888-344-1170. That's toll free, 888-344-1170. Bob may have strong opinions, but he also likes to hear what you have to say.
The sound. Even more beautiful.
Welcome back to the Bob Siegel Show. I am speaking to you live right now, but my opening monologue that you just heard was actually pre-recorded last night. Now, I'm mentioning this only because since then, there has already been some breaking news. Green Czar Van Jones has offered his resignation. I said it would be days, if not sooner. I guess the sooner part is what happened. I believe the Obama administration still has a lot of answering to do as to how they could have picked this character in the first place and kept him in office for 6 months. And then there are all those other czars we talked about. And then there is Supreme Court appointee Sonia Sotomayor, who believes a Latino woman can give a more fair ruling than a white male. So don't relax just yet. Be happy. Just don't relax. Celebrate. This is good news. In fact, I'm thinking of throwing a little party. Jones said that he resigned because he was ruined by a smear campaign. What smear campaign? All we did was listen to his own speeches and tell others where they could listen to them. That was the smear campaign. But there is a real smear campaign going on. Former Homeland Security Advisor Tom Ridge has written a book which accuses the Bush administration of raising the terror alert level for political purposes. He has since distanced himself from the comment, trying to tell us that he didn't really say what he said. Well, he kind of sort of said it, but not really. You'd think people would learn that once their words are actually written in books, they are fairly hard to back away from. But such evasiveness is generally based not on the truth, but how popular the original statement was. And in this case, similar to the Scott McClellan saga, it blew up in Ridge's face. For myself, I am sick and tired of these classless, cowardly kiss-and-tell books. If you have ethical problems with the administration you are working with, something of earth-shattering importance that we all need to desperately know, then bring it up at the time. We don't need to hear about it at Barnes & Noble. If you'd like to weigh in on any of this, give us a call. 1-888-344-1170. And Cameron, let's go to the lines, and we have Nick from El Cajon. Nick, welcome to our program.
Hi, Bob. This is Dick.
Oh, Dick. Okay, yeah. It said Nick on the screen, but okay.
Okay, well, maybe he thought it was Nick. But anyway, I heard your opening monologue, and I've shut the radio off since then, so I don't know if you know, but Our friend Van Jones, it was in this morning's paper, tucked in the middle of the paper, page 10 out of 20 pages, that he has resigned.
Yes, as a matter of fact, we just updated it. You probably while they were putting you on the phone, you missed that.
Probably,
Nick.
Yes.
Well, what happened was the monologue, I'm talking live right now, obviously. The monologue was pre-recorded last night, so
it
got dated by some breaking news, and we did just update it. But thanks for keeping us on our toes.
Well, you know what? That's exciting news. But on the other hand, I don't think we're rid of him or he's going to go away.
I don't think he's going to go away and then remember all those other czars that we also talked about.
So, exactly. Okay.
Something to be happy about, but as they say, we ain't out of this yet, bucko.
Exactly. Okay, well, thank you, sir.
Thank you, my friend. Thanks
for
calling in.
You bet. Bye-bye.
1-888-344-1170 if you want to weigh in. You can also reach us by email, questions@bobsiegel.net. That's questions@bobsiegel.net. Concerning the blog version of whether or not we want Obama to succeed, Mark in El Cajon writes, "Hi, Bob. This last piece I just read was terrific, only it made me think of Nazi Germany again. Hitler's propaganda minister was Joseph Goebbels, who said, 'Say the lie long enough and people will believe it.' The Nazis were also perfectionists at creating a problem, then turning it around and blaming whoever was in their way, whether it was the Jews or whoever, whatever was in their way. It worked great. The communists were also very good at using this simple little device to divert public attention away from themselves and onto someone or something else. Doesn't today's headline sound eerily familiar? Sincerely, Mark." Well, Mark, you're absolutely right. It does indeed sound eerily familiar. Now, concerning my view of asking school children to be servants of the president, Mike in Champaign, Illinois writes, "Amen. North Korea is not only a renegade axis of evil now, it's a role model." It's interesting that he's comparing it to North Korea because, as you know, in North Korea, they have all kinds of youth that march in step. And, of course, Obama's planning on developing a civilian military force as well. It is kind of eerie. It's going to be interesting to see where this heads. Now, Mike in Illinois also writes, "Concerning the blog where I predicted the death of Ted Kennedy would be politicized on behalf of healthcare." He says, Robert, how cynical, how true. At least two people have asked me if it was okay to not be sad. Well, Mike, I think I understand where you're coming from. I guess death is always sad. I'm not sad that Ted Kennedy's policies are gone, but I certainly don't want to wish the man or his family any harm. On that same subject, Patty, writing all the way from Italy, says, "I think you nailed this one, Bob." Okay, let's go back to the phones, 1-888-344-1170. And Ross, you're on the Bob Siegel Show.
Hi, Bob. I teach high school, and when it became pretty clear that Obama was going to...
Hey, Ross, are you on a cell phone?
No.
Oh, okay. Whatever phone you're on,
Does it sound better now?
Well, if it's a mobile phone, just stand still. If you're by a tree, hold on to it and stick your finger out and hope a bolt of lightning hits you. So,
okay. Is it
a little, better now. A little better.
Okay. We have this intra-school email system, there were a whole bunch of people that posted opinions about Obama eventually speaking to students on the first day of school for most students, which is this coming Tuesday. There was a note from the principal among them talking about how he had received a lot of calls by parents that were, complaining that it was going to go on and that they were going to keep their kids out of school. And I also heard a couple of local talk show hosts encourage people to keep their kids out of school if their school is going to show the speech and the blah, blah, blah. And I don't know. It bugs me a little bit in a way because although it's good to I like the idea of intimidating, the Democratic Party. I also believe, though, that we ought to consider ourselves as part of the vanguard of personal freedom against, the leftist nanny state, that we should believe in free thinking. And if children become, quote-unquote, indoctrinated, then we ought to be able to argue with them at home about it.
Well, Ross, on one hand, I would be tempted to agree with you. It's just that this same Democratic Party seems to be doing everything they can to curtail our free speech. If they're also trying to shut down talk radio, if they're also trying to shut down Fox News, if they're also trying to seize the internet, if you listen to what some of these czars are planning to do, then I'm thinking, I would have no problem going into a school with children of an acceptable age, maybe high school through college, and giving them both sides. That would be wonderful. I'm not sure little elementary school kids need to hear about how everybody ought to be in step with Obama's health care. But Ross, I want to get your response. Hang with me over the break, my friend. We'll be right back. Bob Siegel. They say a man's home is his castle. So when it comes to the wiring of your house, you don't want to mess around with some unknown electrician. Instead, do what I did. Call W&S Electric Incorporated. W&S specializes in both contracting and repair. From troubleshooting to remodeling to circuit breakers and fuses, W&S takes a skilled but personal interest in your home at affordable rates. I know the owner, Wayne Klingenhofer, personally, and I can testify firsthand to his integrity. Call 619-447-8785. That's 447-8785 for W&S Electric Incorporated. License number 480-539, W&S Electric. Welcome back to our program, 1-888-344-1170. Continuing now with Ross. Ross, welcome back to our show.
Thanks, Bob.
Okay, so you're a teacher, and you're a conservative, but you're not having the big problem with Obama speaking in schools like everybody else.
I just think that as parents and or adults in the same age range are waking up, as they are with tea parties and so forth, that if Obama was going to, or even is still going to, do some indoctrinating of these kids, that'll just wake up the silent majority even more, and it'll be a good thing. It'll backfire if he's hoping to, do the kinds of things that have been compared with. Like, I remember I've heard some people who have called these talk shows say, it's like what Hitler did. He got the Hitler youth. The dictators get to the kids first. That's how they get to the parents. And, to a certain extent, we got to watch for that. But at the same time, that watching for it can wake up, the so-called silent majority, including the parents, even more.
Yeah, and I did mention a few weeks ago, we have to be a little bit careful with these comparisons to Hitler. People compared Bush to Hitler all the time.
I'm not making
a comparison. Exactly. Now, again, though, see, one of the reasons I'm saying that is when we think of Hitler, we think about Hitler in the final stages or final solution, as Hitler put it. We think of death camps and gassings and babies being burned in ovens, and it's so incredibly unfair to compare somebody like Obama to that. However, if people are careful enough, if they looked at what the real early Nazis did in the embryonic form of their movement, there was an attempt to indoctrinate kids. There was a Hitler youth. There was early euthanasia. So there was a shutting down of free speech. So there are some comparisons, but we just need to be careful to compare it with the early part of Nazism. We don't know what direction this whole thing will go. I'm sure that because of all the bad press, all Obama's going to do is tell the kids to stay in school and mind their teachers. But I am curious to know what he might have said if this hullabaloo hadn't been raised.
Yeah, I suppose I am too. And for all we know, he's going to have some funny kind of subtle, version of that, even so. But I just, I don't think that conservatives should be afraid of it. I think conservatives, like any other human being, get lazy. And they don't want to argue with their kids about issues. I mean, maybe it's because they're afraid that, along with the arguments about issues, they're going to argue about whether or not they're going to go to bed on time or eat nutritious food or, stuff like that. And it's all going to be together, rebellion or no rebellion. But I think arguing with one's sons and daughters with what they bring home from school is healthy for both sides, so to speak.
Okay, point well taken. Ross, thank you for calling in, and we'll be right back.
How
many times have you heard the phrase, "they're all the same," applied to local contractors? It is unfortunate that a few can tarnish the reputations of many, but it sure is nice when you find a contractor with godly principles. But what if they only do floors or only the painting? What if you want to build a whole new home, or you want someone to fully complete your remodel or tenant improvements? You need ProBuilt, serving San Diego since 1987, residential and commercial. Quality work completed on time. Local Christian businessman and president of ProBuilt, Jim Bell, said, "When people pay you to do a job, they simply want you to do the job. They expect quality work, and they expect it to be done on time. We do that at ProBuilt." For references and dozens of pictures of both residential and commercial work, visit our website, ProBuiltInc.com. That's ProBuiltInc.com. Or call our El Cajon office at 619-593-2965. We're fully bonded and insured. California State License Number 567925. ProBuilt.
I'd like to remind all of my listeners that the Bob Siegel Show has a sister program on our sister station, KPRZ 1210 on the dial. Every Sunday morning from 9 o'clock to 9:30, you can hear City Voice. On this provocative program, my good friend George Runyon interviews a different local Christian ministry every week. You can listen to the show while driving to church, and don't be surprised, you may find it so interesting that you'll stay in the parking lot continuing to listen and skipping those Sunday school donuts. That's City Voice with George Runyon, every Sunday morning from 9 o'clock to 9:30 on our sister station, KPRZ 1210. But right now, you're listening to KCBQ 1170. Welcome back to the Bob Siegel Show. Just a couple of closing comments of my own in response to the things our friend Ross was saying, again, about the indoctrination. I don't have any problem with people presenting their viewpoint, if we want to call that indoctrination, political or otherwise, if we're talking high school and college. I don't think it's appropriate for little kids. And whereas we can argue that conservative parents can give the other side, we are involved in a movement right now that's doing everything they can to systematically shut down the other side. They're even trying to shut down homeschooling, because even though homeschoolers test better than kids from public schools, they don't have sensitivity training. And you know what sensitivity training is code for. They're not being taught that it's okay to go out and marry a man if you're a man. Anyway, I want to tell you about a special event coming up here in San Diego in just 2 weeks. So grab some paper and pencil and write this down. Friday, September 18th and Saturday, September 19th at Shadow Mountain Community Church, Arabic Christian Perspective is hosting a conference entitled Our Strong Power, Overcoming the Fear and Facing the Muslim Challenge. Now, Arabic Christian Perspective is an evangelistic ministry toward Muslims. It boldly speaks the truth. They pull no punches, but they also lovingly lead Muslims to Christ. I've had them on my show many times. Get one of the best educations you possibly can about the religion of Islam, not all the politically correct drivel. Speakers include Christian apologist Sam Shimon and David Wood, both of whom have been guests on my program. I'll be speaking at the conference as well. Topics include what Islam really teaches about Allah and Jesus, the deity of Christ in the Synoptic Gospels. Has the Quran been perfectly preserved? Did Paul distort the faith as Muslims claim he did? That's Friday, September 18th at Shadow Mountain Community Church, 5 o'clock to 8 o'clock p.m., and then continuing Saturday, September 19th in the daytime and through the evening, 3 o'clock to 8 o'clock p.m. For more information, call 619-823-5423 and ask for Zach. That's Zach at 619-823-5423. Or just check them out online, because you can always check something out online. My show wouldn't be updated, wouldn't be modern, wouldn't be relevant if I didn't tell you. You can also check them out online. You can check them out online, ministrytomuslims.org. That's ministrytomuslims.org. You're listening to The Bob Siegel Show, our theme, Christianity and its relationship to politics and pop culture. Here's a question I get all the time about Christianity. I deal with it in detail in my book, and it comes up all the time when I speak at college campuses. If Jesus is really the only way of salvation, as Christians say, then how does God judge those who have never heard of Christ? Now, I always give two answers to this. The first answer is, I don't know. That's the easy answer. That's the honest answer. But like most people, not knowing doesn't keep me from sharing my opinion. There are some verses in the Bible that I actually do think provide clues. There aren't enough of these verses. I'd gladly trade 20 chapters of Leviticus for more information. But here is one of the clues, and it's found in the book of Romans, chapter 2, verses 14 through 15, where they're talking about the law. And the law that Paul was talking about was not Roman law. He was talking about the law of Moses. He was talking about the Bible. And then he uses the word Gentiles. Gentiles in those days was a word for people who did not know the God of Israel. These days, many Gentiles are Christians, and they do actually know the God of Israel. But you have to kind of get yourself in the mindset of those people. So they're talking about those who have never read the Bible. And look at Paul's words here again from Romans chapter 2. Indeed, when Gentiles who do not have the law do by nature things required by the law, they are a law for themselves, even though they do not have the law. Since they show that the requirements of the law are written on their hearts, their consciences also bearing witness, and their thoughts now accusing, now even defending them. That's interesting, but let's back up a moment. How then is God going to deal with people who never heard of Jesus? Well, it seems that the conscience is going to have something to do with it. But we must first of all remember that geography does not erase sin. And sometimes the problem with these questions is more the way the question is phrased than in the answer. Usually when somebody asks about the person who never heard of Jesus, he means a person who led this good life, led this really good life, but he just never gave his life to Jesus or heard of him. Well, the Bible says nobody lives a good life. Romans 3 says, what should we conclude then? Are we any better? Not at all. We have already made the charge that Jews and Gentiles are all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, not even one. All have turned away. They have together become worthless. The Bible tells us we have a selfish nature, which it refers to as a sinful nature. With this in mind, we can examine a more genuine problem and perhaps ask the question better. I think you're going to get a better answer if you pose a better question. With this in mind, assuming that God in his love and mercy died for all sinners, how will he offer this undeserved grace to the individual who has not yet met a missionary? Well, part of it has to do with seeking. And we'll talk more about seeking God when we return to the Bob Siegel Show. Projects don't just happen. Good projects are a result of a team of dedicated professionals, owners, architects, and contractors striving toward a common goal. Make OMP a part of your team. If you're looking for professional, knowledgeable experience for your construction project team, Oso Miller Pacific should be your first call. For over 20 years, Mark Miller has been providing project management and constructive services throughout San Diego and Southern California. As president of Oso Miller Pacific, Mark continues this tradition of providing the most professional services in the industry to the healthcare, commercial, and government construction markets. Oso Miller Pacific provides a full range of pre-construction services, including definition of needs, design team selection, concept budget generation, and construction services. This full range of services is what sets Oso Miller Pacific apart from its competition. Visit their website at osomillerpacific.com. That's www.osomillerpacific.com or call the offices at 619-449-0633. Again, the number is 619-449-0633. Good projects don't just happen. Call Oso Miller Pacific. This is Bob Siegel inviting you to tune in for the Rick Amato Show four nights a week here on 1170 KCBQ. Rick stays on top of the issues local and national. He also does some of the most stimulating interviews you've ever heard. That's the Rick Amato Show, Monday through Thursdays from 9 p.m. to 11 p.m. here on Intelligent Talk 1170 KCBQ. You can also find Rick on AmatoTalk.com. How will God judge the people who never heard of Christ? The Bible tells us clearly how God will judge those who heard of Christ and deliberately rejected him, knowing what they were rejecting. It does not speak as specifically about those who haven't heard, but I believe we have some clues, and I mentioned right before the break that part of the clue was seeking. A lot of nice verses about what happens to a person who seeks God. Jeremiah 29:13, "You will seek me and you will find me when you seek with all your heart." Acts 17:27, "God did this so that men would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us." Luke 11:9-11, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks the door will be open. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" And my favorite of these verses, Hebrews 11:6, "Anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him." Don't you like that? God rewards those who earnestly seek him. Now, to get real technical and real biblical and real theological on you, actually the term seek is only a description of our conscious experience. Simultaneous to our search is a working from God's Spirit of which we are unaware. Apart from the whisper or suggestion of the Spirit, sinful people would never look for God. I'm not a Calvinist. I don't believe in predestination, but a lot of these theologies are at least partially right. And it is true that man left to his own devices, woman left to her own devices, would not seek God. We are capable of responding to God, which means there is still will involved, but it is God who initiates it. Romans 3:11 says, "There is no one who understands, no one who seeks God." Now, that's interesting. We have all these verses where God says he's going to reward those who seek him, and then the same God says nobody seeks him. John 6:65, Jesus talking. He says, "This is why I told you that no one can come to me unless the Father has enabled him." Now, I read to you from Romans chapter 2, talking about the fact that in our conscience, we know a lot about God's law because he's put it in our law, and there seems to be a close relationship between the probing Spirit of God and man's inner witness to morality. In John 16, the Holy Spirit's task is described as a work similar to that of our conscience. It says, "When he comes, he will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment." John 16:8. Matthew 5:8 says, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled." John 3:19 says, "This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but men loved darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil." Now, there are two cases in the New Testament where we see God communicating to seeking individuals or individuals responding, as we're now qualifying it, apart from missionary activity. One would be a man named Cornelius. Cornelius was a Roman military officer. He had an elementary understanding of Judaism because he was in Israel, but he didn't know a lot about it. And he was seeking God by trying to please God, by feeding the poor, by lighting incense. Now, we don't get saved by those works, but those kinds of works could at least show whether or not a person is seeking God. And one day, while Cornelius was worshiping in his home, I'm reading from Acts chapter 10, an angel appeared before him. And the angel said to him, "Your prayers and gifts to the poor have come up as a remembrance before God. Now send men to Joppa to bring back a man named Simon, who is called Peter." Well, we'll talk more about this subject. I know we barely scratched on it today. How does God judge those who never heard of him? Part of it's about seeking. Part of it has to do with the conscience. Part of it is a God who takes sincere ignorance into account. You'll want to see this. It'll actually be 2 weeks from now. Next week's a repeat broadcast because I will be out of town. But I will see you 2 weeks from now. You're always welcome. Your questions are welcome, too.
Thank you for listening to The Bob Siegel Show. The views and opinions are solely those of the host and guests and do not necessarily represent KCBQ or its sponsors. The Bob Siegel Show was brought to you in part by the Law Office of Thomas Pinkerton, helping infertile families have children. Tom Pinkerton would like to invite you to help Bob expand his radio program by donations or sponsorship. For more information about Bob's ministry, go to www.bobsiegel.net. Here, you can read Bob's articles and get information about Bob's books. That's Bob Siegel, SIEGEL.net.